And thank you and good afternoon. Yes, I have a strange accent. It's called English. I speak English. But yes, you have to listen carefully. Brother Doctor, thank you. And Zakari. If you have a Bible, you can open into the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 10. I want to speak unto you for a few minutes on endure it. Endure it. This way of escaping the temptation of the flesh. Because it's not enough to have a lip service. I must have a true knowledge that's in my heart and in my life. And a true consecration that comes from God. Now, I've come a long way to tell you this message. And I ask you to listen very carefully. I believe it is from God. It's from God's word. That's how we know a message is from God. It's from the word of God in its context. And when the preacher is preaching, you ought to be able to take your Bible and open it up and look and see. That's what the word of God is actually saying. I'm an opener of the word of God. I have no new word. There is no new word. The Bible is complete. This is the word of God. The only word. 1 Corinthians, sir, in chapter number 10. And I'll read verses number 1 through 14. And so, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And Paul is talking to the church at Corinth and by extension us. That all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. He's talking about the crossing of the Red Sea as the children of Israel escaped Egyptian bondage. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud. They all followed Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all escaped. They all came out under the leadership of that man Moses, who pictures Christ, our true leader. And all ate the same spiritual food. Not just of the Lord's Supper, but the doctrine of the gospel was taught all throughout the Old Testament. Even in the wilderness, that God is our provider spiritually. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When Moses smote that rock, and the water gushed out, and when he spoke unto it at the other occasion, that was a picture of Jesus Christ satisfying the thirst of our souls. And so those people were not ignorant of the doctrine of Christ. They had Moses as their preacher, and God spoke unto them with an audible voice. Not like us, much more so. It thundered. But, verse number 5, with most of them, not just a few, if you remember, that whole generation was slain in the wilderness. With most of them, God was not well pleased, even though they had all the spiritual advantages and privileges. Just like in Nigeria, you have a unique privilege of being able to worship God as a hospital staff. That's not allowed in the USA. And all of you keep thinking that to go to America is to reach the promised land. Not if you're going for God, it's not. Not if it's for God. But with all of those spiritual privileges, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And they died there. All who had not the faith of Christ. Verse number 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we, and you see Paul the apostle make the application unto ourselves, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. When he gave them manna, please pay attention unto me, that came from heaven, they lusted after meat. And God said, I'll rain down this quail for a whole month and they will eat it until it comes out of their nostrils. Because the bread of Christ is what satisfies us, not anything in this flesh or in this world. If you are, and I am, a true Christian, the only thing that satisfies us is the grace of God. That woman at the well, she brought her bucket, but when she came in contact with Jesus Christ, the living water was stirring up on her inside. And then she left her water bucket, this woman that had been caught in her adultery, had confessed. She had many husbands, or many men at least. She went home completely satisfied with no more money, no more things in this world, but the knowledge of God saving her soul and the joy that made her go out and tell the gospel unto others. I asked Brother Doctor, what happened unto us? Why are there so many who start in the joy of Christ and then start chasing after this world as Israel did? All of them were baptized unto Moses. Just like me and you were baptized unto Jesus Christ. All of them drank that spiritual drink. Just like me and you, I suppose, drink of the water of the knowledge of Christ in the gospel fountain. But he says in verse 7, and do not become idolaters. That's a big one for us in our day. As were some of them. As it is written, here's what they did. The people sat down, they pleased themselves, they worshiped themselves, they made a golden calf and said, this is my God that allows me to live for myself and worship Him at the same time. The only God that allows that is not in the Bible. These people were idolaters, and they were just brought out of Israel. I don't know if the sister here has actually worked all night. If she has, you can but arouse her to pay attention. I demand that people hear me as I'm talking, because I'm bringing unto you the word of God. If it was my word, it would not matter. But this is the help of your soul. This is everlasting life. And there's only one way. It's the people sat down, the scripture says, as it's written, to eat, to drink, and they rose up to play. That's America. And I see it in so many places in Nigeria. I was up north in Kano, in the outskirts of a village. That's where I met Brother Zakari. They don't have enough things to actually play with. So you think that a religion of idolatry, a religion of play, is I've served God, now let me please myself. Let me live for myself. Nor, verse number 8 is extremely big in Nigeria and in the USA. It's all over the South. If you've been down there into Lagos and Port Harcourt, into Calabar, Akwa Ibom, Eket, into Warri, it's everywhere. It's in the pulpit, isn't it? It is accepted common knowledge that the pastor gets to sleep with the people in the church. Men will even bring him their wives and turn a blind eye while he sleeps with them and abuses them. It is an abomination. There was one Nigerian pastor in the Ukraine. I think that they put him in prison. There are much stricter laws in other countries. He had slept with 30 women in his church. And he ran a scam for collecting money. But when you see on the internet, I deposit in $5,000 and I got back $10,000, you come on in. He was a part of that hocus pocus. There's another pastor that I met in Ikeja who sent me that today. I unfriended him and reproved him. And he said, how do you know it's a scam? Because you don't give money for nothing and get more money back. Unless it's illegal or a scam, or the new people give, the old people get paid until they stop it and collect it all. Scam. Preachers. And what Paul is talking about, my brothers and sisters, is scam Christians. Unbelievers posing as believers in the house of God. And they might not even know it. That's why he's the preacher of the word. And the word impacts the preacher before it impacts anybody else. Is that right? Is the preacher ought to be the one that takes hold of the message of God more than anybody else in his congregation, because he's got to speak it and live it for God's glory. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking for in a preacher of the word of God?
Yes.
A man who speaks by what God says and lives it in his own life. Only grace can produce such a man, but God does it, doesn't he? He produces it. Not many, but some. He has his people out there and in here by God's grace and glory. So, nor let us commit fornication, sexual immorality, illicit sexual behavior, sex outside of marriage, one man to a woman, one husband of one wife, as some of them did, and there were consequences. In one day, 23,000 fell. I wish that some of this would happen to wake our eyes up. if the Almighty God just started slaughtering people on the spot. But he does it as he sends people to hell for their fornication unrepented of. Every time they go off into eternity to meet God unrepented, he's pronounced his judgment. And you and I are to be aware. Every time they get swallowed up by the gospel of lies that says I can have my sin and Christ too, they've been swallowed up. And we're to beware and be very wise. Nor let us, verse 9, tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. He sent the fiery serpents to bite them at their murmuring, at their complaining, at their bitterness against God. Verse number 10, nor complain as some of them also complained at the destruction of the sons of Korah and were destroyed by the destroyer. I was reading this account this morning. It's in the book of Numbers in chapter 16. The plague, it went out. It started to destroy God's people. And then Aaron, the high priest, at the request of his brother Moses, as he ran into the middle, over 80 years old, he had these the censer that was burning with the fire off of the altar, and he ran in, and he, pastor, he stood in between the dead and the living. That's what Jesus Christ does. He stands between the dead and the living, and because of him, we survive. We obtain everlasting mercy because of the work of Christ. Though we are guilty of all of our sins. And we're destroyed by the destroyer. Now, verse 11. All these things happen to them as examples, as proof unto us that the Almighty God will do it, as proof that it's not enough to escape from Egypt with your mouth. It's not enough to be baptized into the church. It's not enough to be a member of a good church or even hear the gospel preached or even to know it in your head. This is one thing that aches my soul and brings a tremendous agony, is that most of the people I know, I'd say over 90%, who believe the true gospel are miserable in their sin. And their sin is not so much outward fornication, but it's murmuring, it's complaining. It's the bitterness of thinking that God owes me better than my situation. You hearing me? God owes me actually better than my situation in Nigeria or in the USA. God owes me and you everlasting hell and death and destruction underneath the wrath of God. He saved us by his mercy. He put us in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, from before the foundation of the world. So that everybody that enters into heaven was actually predestined by God. He set your destiny from eternity and gave you everlasting life through the gospel, by the gospel, and the reason you heard from God and I heard from God instead of somebody else is because of God alone. He picked us up out of the pit of corruption and destruction. He saved us from our sins. And if he never gives us anything in this life but trouble and pain, we got more than we deserve in eternity already.
Are you with me?
If he breaks your legs, if you work here in the hospital and you see so much sickness that I don't want to have to deal with, I don't know what to do. I don't have the hands of a doctor. I don't know how to deal with it. And it hurts me. I can't help. But as you see, and if you see so much sickness and pain in this hospital, not one person, even if it happens to you and me, is getting any injustice by God. Let me ask you a question and I'll move on. Do you think that God owes you a husband or marriage? I'll repeat the question. Do you think that God owes you a husband for marriage or for me a wife? Does he owe you health or wealth or money or happiness in this world?
No.
The only thing God owes us is what he bought with the blood of Christ, which is everlasting life, if we believe the gospel. And if we despise it, he owes us hell. And he will surely pay up. Am I right? Is that right? That's right. That's the truth. But these things all happened unto them as examples unto you and I, and they were written for our admonition, our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It's almost time to wrap up and meet God, he said. Verse number 12 and 13 is my message. And so therefore, that him who thinks he stands, who thinks he's strong, who thinks he's got everything all figured out because he knows the doctrine of the true gospel. As I said in the Anglican Church from yesterday, he knows the true doctrine of justification by faith. That a man is made righteous in the sight of God, not by doing, but by believing on what Christ has done. Did you hear me in that very important point? How is a man made righteous in the sight of God? I just said it a few moments ago. Is my accent that tricky? Not by doing, but by believing on what Christ has done. Instantly, immediately made righteous in the sight of God. But some people think, sir, many people think that that justifies me to live the Christian life any way I want to do it. And it's not so. Not so at all. It justifies me now to live by faith and honor God by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring Him glory. I haven't been made righteous to live for myself. God forbid. But to live for Him who died for you. And He gave Himself and He's coming back again. And so when I first got into Africa, I was in Kenya. It was only a month, though. And there was a preacher at a conference, and he was preaching from 2 Corinthians 5 on the love of Christ constraining us. But his main point that hit my heart so hard is that many of us are under the prosperity gospel, sir, and we don't even know it. Because we are living our life to be happy and not to suffer for the cause of Christ in the gospel. And so the love of Christ is not constraining us. It's He loved me, and so now I don't have to do anything about it for Him. Is that the doctrine of the Bible? No, He loved me and He gave Himself for me that I might live for Him.
that I may die to self and mortify the flesh and live my life entirely unto the glory of God instead of my house, my wife, my family, my children, my education. I have met so many people in Nigeria who believe the truth. Well, it's a few that believe the true gospel. And here's what they tell me. Their dad is a pastor of a false Christ. He's an antichrist preacher preaching a false Christ. And they will not leave. And they will not tell their father no. But they will sit under his ministry and pretend because he's paying their filthy school fees. And I hate that in my bones. The Son of God died for you and me? And we're concerned about school fees over his glory? What kind of Christianity is that? That does not exist in the Word of God. My ancestors and your ancestors, they came here to die for Jesus Christ. My brother David Livingstone, sir, he died in Africa. This man told me of the Anglicans who came all the way from the north of Ireland to shed their blood on our soil for the cause of Christ. I hate mosquitoes, but I don't even think that they had a net. I don't know. But they endured it. They took it. They suffered. In France, it's the Huguenots. It was an early movement before the Protestant Reformation. And the Catholic Church used to kill people if you came unto know Christ. It's all tame now. But back then, it cost your life. You go up north, outside of Kano, and ask him. This man, he risked his life unto know God. Because Fulani killed them when they come to Jesus Christ. Is that right, sir? No, it is right. Whether he said no or not, I've been there. And I know it for myself. I was there. If my English is strange, I suppose, right there. You got it. But listen to me now. Our life is not our own. To Him we belong. I give myself away. Is that not right? You're the singer with a beautiful voice. Is that not right? It's not mine no more. I've come to Jesus Christ. He owns me and you, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything about us. Our destiny's in His hands. Our life is for His purpose, for His glory alone. And if He makes us happy with outward things, great, that's grand. I will thank God for that too. If He makes you rich, wonderful, wonderful, sir, wonderful. You've been blessed, wonderful. But it's for Jesus Christ's glory. Let the rich give. Not the courageous. It's for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My whole life. And that's how I became a missionary. My dear sisters. I was forgiven of my sins and so happy I had to thank God. I said, here's my life. What do you want me to do? Please take my life. Please don't let me live and not say thank you. That's just being Christian. It's not missionary, it's just Christian. Wherever you go and whatever He's called you to, housewife or brain surgeon, that's just Christian. We live unto the glory of God. And so let him who thinks he stands in all his knowledge take heed lest he fall.
lest he slip into sin and he fall away from Christ and perish because he's never truly believed in his heart in the first place. Even though these people came out and followed Moses, they never followed Moses. Because Moses' doctrine was Jesus Christ our Lord. And he worshiped him in his heart. How about you and me? Who are we worshiping right now? Who is number one? Whose will must be done in your life, little sister? And this will help you. In the Lord's Prayer, sir, he starts out with "Our Father," right? That's the highest privilege. That ends on murmuring right there. I have access unto God, me, a filthy sinner. Our Father? Are you kidding me? That's Christ's blood. He earned that, right? Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. No, I want house, car, husband, wife, shoes, purse, bag, health, riches, this, that. I won't be happy until you give me all these. No, no, no. Before I even utter a word about myself, I want what you want. Your kingdom, your glory, the salvation of your people, your will be done. That's Jesus on the cross, dying for our sin. That's how he went through it. That's how he got that battle victoriously. Not my will. Thine be done. And he died for us. And he's our example. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord and Master. My boss man. Master Jesus. Is it real to you? With my life. Not just my time on Sunday. Not just my knowledge of some doctrine in the Bible. But does he have me and you? From our heart. And you know what the surprise is? That's the happiest life you could possibly live in this world. I swear on my word as a man, as much as I am a man, I wouldn't trade places with anyone in Nigeria. There's only about 3 people I trade places with in the world. And all of them are evangelists who have served more faithfully than me. You understand? There's nothing to trade for. I'm having the time of my life. Spreading the word of God. This Christian woman, and she is beautiful. But on the inside, not so much as I thought. And you know what she told me? That the Christianity is boring. That life is boring. It's only boring if you're living for yourself. That's what is miserable. Because you and I are fighting God and our Lord Jesus Christ's glory if we live for ourselves, because God's all about the glory of his Son. And if we turn our ambitions around and live for him, we'll see that he makes you pleased and satisfied from the inside. Water that never makes you thirst again. What does that mean? Every time I see Christ in the power of the Spirit, I want nothing else. I need nothing else. I don't even need to be happy in this world. I don't even need to be healthy. I don't need to recover from any situation when I see him. Is that water of life on the inside of you? Is it thriving? Is it coming out? Are you living for it, sir? Are you singing the praises from in here? Not just in here, but in here, all over the place. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. How do you do that unless you're happy already? He's inside of you.
So after I get done preaching, I'm usually so happy, I'm way up here. And I don't even like singing, and I start singing hymns. It's on the inside, and it's real.
It's real. And I have doubted it, my sister, for so many years. So I'm not coming down on you. I'm preaching from experience and helping you to understand the text, that the problem with Israel, the problem with the church at Corinth, is they had so much knowledge between their ears, but they had nothing inside here. It was all empty. And it showed itself in their life. And they murmured and complained because God is so bitter. Oh, he's so mean. He hasn't answered my prayer after all these years. I'm still not married. Oh, boo-hoo me. When the thrill is real. But it's in his service, not my own.
Verse 13, please. It's my last verse and I'll be done. No temptation. A person was telling me yesterday, was arguing with me, and this person, I'm persuaded, is a true believer all the way in Zambia. And she has a great church. Pastor Conrad Mbiwe is the most well-known preacher in Africa of the true gospel I'm aware of. And that's her pastor. He'd been faithful for many years, planted many churches. But as to what she told me was that this thrill you're talking about in the service of Jesus Christ, that's just for special people. Is that true? Is it just for me because I'm a missionary? No, this is the core, this is the basis of everything. This is the heart of the gospel truly lived for everybody. Even if you just wash the dishes unto the Lord and pray that God will save people and speak a word as the door opens, you'll have a rich and full life in Nigeria. My God is so good. He doesn't have to take you out of here in order to make you happy. And here's my proof. Outside of the word, my own experience. I come from California. I think it might be the greatest place in the world for a person to live. Beautiful weather, great money, everything luxurious, no mosquitoes. But I'm happier here than I've ever been in my life. Serving God for his glory and serving God's people. How about you and me both do it right here? And if he sends you someplace else and you get a visa into Canada, you can go for it. But you're not going to be happy there if you're not happy and you're worshiping him here. Because it's going to get harder over there. They are idolaters. And the love of money is rich and powerful here in Nigeria, but the opportunity is over there. And it will consume you both day and night. More to get, more to acquire, more to buy. I'm comparing myself with somebody else. Nobody's happy. Nobody's happy except those who know God and serve him in their circumstances. This is all you need to be happy in a prison cell or anywhere else in this world. It's right here. You and communion with Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, imputed righteousness, not standing in the sight of God with how I'm doing, but through the blood of his Son, and power to do God's will, not from myself, but from the Holy Spirit. Peace, happiness, and joy. How can God not be a joy giver. He can't. He can't be selfish and stingy. He gave you His Son as a testimony of how thrilling He is on the inside when He's obeyed and the heart is tuned.
Am I talking truly? I'm telling the truth. You going to believe it? And you going to...
Amen.
And obey it.
That's right. That's the key. It's the key is knowledge to enter in.
The text is open to believe and now receive the great blessing and to tell God.
All you single people here, if you raise your hand.
Single.
Single. Yeah. Single. Yeah. Single. Yeah, raise it up high. You gotta be shy about being single. I'm right here with you. What? Let's shout. But listen here. Hey now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says it is better to be single.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
I believe
it. I did not believe it for many years. How do I know? I kept on lusting after marriage as if that was going to make me happy. But now I believe it. And in the times of agony when I don't, I can take my Bible up to God and say, "You say it is better, so make me happy." And He says it's in His worship, His will, and by His Spirit. Ask God to do the blessing that's in His Word. Ask Him to do what He promised you inside of your heart.
And
you
will.
Amen.
You will.
No. You can turn it off.
I want people to hear the message. I have not come to play religion. Hear the message of God and live it in your life. And when I'm gone, you're still happy because you've got God Himself. This thing is real. No temptation has overtaken you. So even when my sister was saying, "I can't be happy," I pointed her to Ephesians 1. It says there, the exceeding power of God, it works in you. That's how you'll do it. His power, not your own. And so no temptation has taken you except is common unto man. All of us feel tempted by Satan and this flesh and this world. Here's the key. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. As you're lying in bed at night, craving marriage and companionship, hold on to this verse and hold out. There is no need to go into sexual gratification of yourself. Hold on to this verse in the Bible and wait on God.
And you know why He lets you be tempted by the devil almost up until the hilt? And so you can thank Him in the morning and say, "Praise God." He keeps poor sinners who trust you. He keeps people who are this tempted all night long. And then He finally lets us sleep and wake up and say, "That was God who did that." And then go tell it to somebody else. Hold on. If you're lonely and it's hard, hold on.
If you don't have what you want and your body is craving it, if your years are almost over for childbearing, hold on to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And I don't promise you a husband. Only a fool would.
I make no promises except what's in that Bible. He doesn't promise me my next breath or you. I don't know as to where you will be in the morning. or your condition, and nobody does. Am I right?
Yes.
That's exactly right. But I can promise you, God, from this Bible, and that's good enough. And if it ain't good enough, it's just because you have not yet met Him. Am I right? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able, but with the temptations, and they are going to come, the Almighty God is going to disappoint us and not give us the things that we want in this flesh on our time schedule, but He will also make the way of escape. There's only one way, through faith in Jesus Christ, that you may be able to what? Endure it. Endure it. And the picture, my brothers and sisters, as I wrap up, of endurance is a man carrying a heavy burden. It was a man, it's a preacher. I think he has heard better, but at the time when I first knew him, he hopped on a donkey. And I thought, it's a donkey carrying a burden of another donkey. And them donkeys and mules have to carry our burdens. Those camels and me and you, we have to carry the burden of this world, craving after us and calling for our attention. And to lust after evil things that God has not given us is in our nature. And this flesh, it will not stop until we die. Even Martin Luther on his deathbed was filled with unbelief and scare, because his whole life of faithfulness was not good enough for him to look unto God and get into heaven. That's only by Jesus Christ. And so this faithful man, he died scared when he didn't have to, because the flesh and the devil are so powerful, and they are with us until we leave this world. But when I'm tempted, and when you're tempted, these three things will help you, and I'll be done. One, look to the blood of Christ, and to forgiveness. There's no accident unto God. Tell you what, the remission of sin. That's our acceptance. That's what makes us able to pray unto God and say, Our Father, His blood was shed. I'm accepted 100%. How about you? Next, look to the Holy Spirit. You need Him. I tried to live the Christian life in my own strength, and you know what happened? The devil beat me down. And my sins began to multiply until I quit the ministry of God. I didn't have a clean conscience. I did not want to do it, sir, and be a hypocrite. But when God brought me back into the gospel fellowship of His Son, He forgave me of all my sin and gave me the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need, and you'll live the Christian life with joy. And then, number three, pay attention here as I'm going to quit.
Yes, sir.
Live your life entirely for Him. Every day, get the strength of God to honor Him in the gospel with how you conduct yourself. And the more that me and you know about the gospel and our privileges, it's the more gracious that we become. I keep trying to tell my brother, I'm not daddy. I know it's a part of the culture, but it's a bad part if you look upon your ministers as special people on some higher level with some special access unto God, because we do not have it. He came to us, me, while we were sinners, and accepted us because of His Son, and gives us the grace to bring Him glory. It's God, and we're brothers. We're equals in Jesus Christ, sir. Yes, I respect His age, but in Christ we're equal, equal standing, man and woman. If you're single or married, it doesn't matter. You have children or you don't. You have money or you don't. If you're the Oga or the servant, neither one has more happiness in Christ. They both have it all. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want you to live it. I want you to believe it. The next time I see you, I want to see you rejoicing in God.
Amen.
So confess your sins of unbelief and trust Him. And He'll help you and bless you to honor Him. He'll bless you with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.